Well, you want to get into it?
Yeah, I guess so. We're doing our top 10 list of 2017. How would you, how would you characterize your, like, list? Like, is it mostly just the movies that you thought were best or movies that you just happened to like the most?
These are my top 10. I just think they're the 10 that I like the most. I think I have a definite... So, okay. I'm going to suggest that we do this in kind of a strange way.
Okay.
Instead of just starting at the bottom or top, I think we should start with 5 through 1 and then go back to 6 through 10.
Okay.
Just because I'm worried if we start and go 10 all the way to the top, I'm going to have some at the bottom that might be towards the top of yours, and then I'll talk about them, and I'll kind of ruin whatever you're going to have. And
okay,
We get to, like, brag about our favorites, because I definitely have, like, the 4 or 5 top ones are, like, my favorite movies, and then I think the ones after that I really liked, but it's, like, there's, like, probably 4 at the top that I'm like, man, I really, really like these movies.
Okay. I've got an addition of that kind of idea, because okay. I agree. We don't want to like steal each other's thunder. So yeah. I think we can still do like start with 10 and go to the top. But if I say a movie and it's anywhere on your list, we wait to talk about it until you get to it as well. So that way we don't steal each other's thunder, but we're still kind of going in order that we, you know, care about it.
Okay, so maybe we say, this is the movie I have, and then if the other person has it higher, they're like, let's wait on that one.
Yeah. So we'll just pause the conversation for a little bit.
Okay, because if we both have a movie on the list, I want to kind of, like, debate, like, why we have it higher or lower.
Yeah, I agree.
And, so I guess as background, we have done our top 10 or 8 or however many we've seen for the first 3 quarters of 2017.
Yes.
So this was like us at work on Skype chat not being super productive.
I don't know, it was pretty productive in my eyes.
Yes, it created this podcast, but yeah, so we did it for Q1, Q2, and Q3. Didn't really do a Q4, but I'm okay with that. But I feel like on those other rankings we were pretty similar. But
that's
true. Feel like on this one, I'm pretty darn sure we're going to be different.
Yeah, I think because the net is a lot wider this time. And whenever we started like doing those quarterly reviews, did we have this podcast in mind, or were we kind of just doing it for kicks? I can't really remember.
I don't think we had a podcast in mind. I think we had just been going to a ton of movies the first like 3 months of 2017.
Yeah, and that's true.
I forget which one. I think we just started talking about them, and we're like, let's do a top 10. And it was more exciting than anything else going on that day. So
yeah, that does seem likely. Do you know how many movies in 2017 you've seen?
I counted the other day, and I forget, but it was really sad. It's so many movies.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Because, like, there's each of those quarters, but then I've also been, like, as movies come out on, like, Redbox or whatever, been going back and watching more movies.
Yeah, I've been trying to do that, too, with the ones I've missed.
Yeah, and so it's just a lot. Okay, well, okay, so you want to start at 10, going up to 1, but we will defer if we mention anything that is higher on the other person's list.
Right, because we don't want to steal anyone's thunder.
Okay. Okay, no premature thunder.
Nope.
Okay, so let's start at 10. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
You can go first, man.
Okay, so 10, I debated putting several things here as like an honorary spot.
10 is a tough one because it's usually one that you obviously liked and you kind of want to recognize, but it's definitely not in the upper tier, so I understand.
Yes.
I understand that battle.
And there were several that I was looking at that I didn't put on the list that I'm like, wow, this isn't on the list. And, okay, so the one I ended up going with at number 10 is Brigsby Bear.
Brigsby Bear.
Yes, and I don't know if I ever even talked to you about this.
No, one, you haven't.
Because this is one that I saw later. I did not see it in theaters, but one of my friends in Waco, like, told me I had to go see this movie. So it's, like, written and I think directed, and the main actor is Kyle Mooney.
SNL guy?
Yes, SNL guy. He's got his Kyle videos, which are very... He has a very unique sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, like, awkward and weird, but I love it. I think it's hilarious. But this whole movie is just, like, his humor. And I don't know. I watched it at home by myself and was laughing, which I usually don't do. Like, when other people aren't around, I don't laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... It was so funny. But I don't know if you want me to go over the premise of it. I don't know how much you know about this movie.
All I knew was that it had the guy, one of the guys from SNL in it. I didn't hear too much about it. Was this a limited release? Or
It was a smaller, I think it might have been a limited release, and it really didn't have hardly any publicity.
Mm.
I just knew about it because, like, Kyle and, I don't know, some of my friends saw it, but it's really funny. It has Mark Hamill in it.
What?
Yes. Okay, which is very surprising. Yeah, so I will leave it at that, but it is a great movie and I highly recommend seeing it. I mean, I'm gonna recommend seeing it. You might not think it's funny, in which case feel free to just not tell me. But so that is my honorary 10th spot.
Okay, I feel kind of bad that I didn't, like, hear too much about it. Like, I don't even think, like, I saw a trailer or anything for it.
It really, I think it must have been super low budget.
Okay.
There's nothing in the movie that makes you think they spent any money on it. Like, it could be, like, an hour and a half long YouTube video, honestly.
Okay, well... That kind of sells it for me a little bit more, actually.
It's pretty funny.
Okay, good stuff. Starting out strong.
Yeah. Okay, number 10 for you.
Wait, hold on. I've got a quick side note. So,
okay.
I guess there are so many, like, Oscar type movies that come out in December. On a scale, like, how many would you say you've seen? Because I feel like that'll affect the way that I think your list is going to go. Because me personally, I've seen, like, none of them.
Okay, so that's not true. You have seen some of them.
I have.
I think you'd be surprised by the ones that are... And I have... So I'd say there's probably, like, 10 to 12 movies that are kind of in consideration for, like, Best Picture nominees.
Mm-hmm.
Of those, I've probably seen... 7 or 8.
Oh boy, okay.
Quite a few. But okay, so this is something I kind of wanted to talk about. Normally, like, I get really into Oscar season, and there's a couple movies that come out in Oscar season that I really like. This year, that has not been the case.
Aw.
The movies that have come out in quote-unquote Oscar season, which is basically when awards start, like, mid to late October through now, basically.
Yeah.
That's kind of Oscar season, and it's when all the artsy limited release movies come out. I've gone and seen several of those, and I haven't liked any of them, I don't think.
Oh.
The ones I like that are being considered are ones that came out in the summer or earlier in the year, and those are the ones I think you've seen mostly.
Okay.
Which is just kind of surprising, because usually there's, like, a La La Land,
mm-hmm.
or, like, an Arrival or something that comes out later in the year that I'm really excited about. But I don't have any of those, I don't think.
Okay. I was just curious because I don't know if you watched, but this past Sunday, Grace and I watched the Golden Globes. And there were a couple of categories I was really interested in. But most of, like, the movies, I hadn't had enough time to see them. Like, they came out, like, 2 weeks ago during, like, the holiday season. Or they were doing a limited release and just now expanded. So I didn't really have a dog in that fight. So I was...
That's the problem with the Oscar season stuff, is all these movies come out in, like, Los Angeles and New York in, mm-hmm. like, November. And so everyone there sees them. And then the internet buzz kind of comes and goes by the time it actually gets a release sometime in January.
Yeah.
In, like, normal places. And so you don't really know what to see. So I will say the one that I have not seen that I really want to see is Lady Bird. it's being talked about a lot, and I've had several people tell me that that's the one that they like,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a little more reputable than someone online just saying who they think is going to win Best Picture.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, I guess I just
We can talk more about Oscars at the end, though.
Yeah,
I've got a few more things. I could give you some commentary on movies I've seen that I did not like.
Okay, yeah, I'm curious. I just wanted to kind of see, because I guess...
Yeah, I think it's surprising to me that there's not more of those types of movies for me on here.
Okay. Just wanted to know, because, like, during Golden Globes, I was like, well, crap, I haven't seen, like, most of these, and it's either because they just expanded or have not expanded yet, so I didn't want your list to be
You're good there. Okay. You will know all of the movies that I... Well, maybe one or two, but... Yeah.
Okay, moving okay.
With
right
that,
along.
We will go to your number 10.
Yes, my number 10 is Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
So this is, I guess, the second of the Disney live-action remakes. They started with Jungle Book, I think, and then they moved...
What about, wasn't Cinderella? Didn't they live remake that one?
Oh, yeah, they did. I kind of forget about that one, though, because I feel like that one's been done. Like, a couple of offshoots have been made of that.
Yeah,
story.
And it just wasn't very memorable. But
yeah. But, I mean, Disney shows that they really can do anything. You know, the story had to change a little bit to accommodate a live-action set, and I think that made sense. I think with The Jungle Book, they showed that they could make these really realistic-looking worlds and animals and things. And then with this movie, they showed that they can make a really good musical out of it. Because The Jungle Book remake, it didn't really have that much music. It had, like... 1.5 songs, if that makes sense. But the music in this is amazing. I've been listening to it all year in my like Spotify top 100 songs. A good portion of the Beauty and the Beast album was in that, just because all the music, the quality is great, the acting was great. Emma Watson as Belle was pretty nice. She did need some assistance with the vocals, and that's all right. Luke Evans as Gaston and Josh Gad as LeFou, those, they really stood out for me. So... You know, Disney's casting is always top-notch, but I don't know. It gave me a lot of hope for all of their future remakes that are going to be happening. So it was pretty great all around. I think I've seen it 2 or 3 times now. Always enjoyable. So a solid start. Nice.
I think that's probably the best like classic Disney movie this year. Normally, there's like a really good animated movie, which I haven't seen Coco, but... I don't know, it feels like this year, like, that's, like, the Disney movie, you know?
Yeah, and they really did market it a lot. It was kind of hard to ignore that Beauty and the Beast was happening, and, I mean, it worked out well up until about a month ago. They were the top grossing movie in the U.S. for 2017, and then Star Wars had to come along and do its thing.
That's true. I forgot that they made so much money off of that, too.
Yeah, so Disney know what's up. Yeah. It's just a really solid movie. I would highly recommend it, and I think the only thing I was worried about was the music, just because that is such an integral part of like the animated stuff, and it transferred over great. Yeah, there are things that are a little different than the animated version, but I think that just kind of has to happen. Like, there are some things you can get away with in animation that you just can't in live action, and yeah. I don't know, I think it all worked out great. They gave the Beast a song, which wasn't in the animated, and the song's great, so they knew where to add things.
There's only like 1 or 2 songs that are originals, and they didn't feel super out of place. So, yeah, no, I agree. I really liked it.
Yeah, so, I don't know. That it set as a solid spot for me and the top 10 pretty much all year. Because whenever I would go see movies, I would just kind of keep track of them and keep what I thought would be a easier list to kind of work through at the end of the year. And Beauty and the Beast stayed in the top 10 throughout. So, very solid from Disney.
Cool. Okay, number 9. Do you want to get... How about you... We'll do a snake, so you do your number 9 next.
Okay, number 9, I'm kicking it off with the first superhero movie. I've got quite a few on my list.
okay. And depending on what it is, we might have to defer.
Uh-oh, okay. And I'm starting number 9 with Thor Ragnarok.
Okay, we're going to have to defer this one.
Okay, that's all right.
I've got it a little higher.
I get that. Okay. I struggled where to put Thor Ragnarok.
I was going to say we could have done, like, a top 8 superhero movies of the year.
Oh, boy.
Just because, like, that's most of, I think, the ones that we see and pay attention to.
Those are definitely the key points of our interest. We should have thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so my number 9, I have The Big Sick.
Oh, man. The Big Sick is one of my honorable mentions.
Okay, okay, and that's good. So this is one of those, like, Oscar buzz type movies.
It is?
That you actually have seen, yes.
Huh.
I don't know if it'll actually win anything, but there's a lot of, like, Kumail deserves some attention for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm just a little surprised.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why it's not like your normal Oscar movie. It's kind of, I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it was well written, which is the thing that I think it might win an Oscar for, is the writing. And it's cool that it's just kind of Kumail's, like, real-life experiences, but, like, made in a way that's, like, relatable and funny, and I don't know. It's a movie that I, like, could watch again, I think, which is kind of something that I use to, like, judge my list of, like, would I watch this again?
Yeah, that's...
It's, like, definitely in that category.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I just thought it was really, really well done, well acted. Lots of kind of not big-name actors that put in solid performances. And, I don't know, I'm just kind of excited for people like him to get the chance to make more movies.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed it as well. I think we talked about it at the time, but, like, I can't... off the top of my head think of very many rom-coms that have come out recently, and then just to have this come out of the blue and be just so well made and relatable, I don't know, this was one of the movies that I was the most excited to take Grace to, because I was just like, I got a feeling about this movie, it feels like it's gonna be fun but with a lot of heart in it, and it was a lot better than I thought it was gonna be going in, and I had pretty high hopes. So
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think many people knew what it was going to be, but it definitely kind of, like, got passed around, like, word of mouth of, like, hey, you got to go see this movie. Okay, yeah, that's all I got to say about that one.
Cool, well, good for Kumail, because I really did enjoy that movie, and wasn't that Amazon Studios, I think?
Yeah, which I'm still not entirely sure what that means. Like, I know it's just, like, got some money from Amazon behind it. I don't know if they're going to try to be putting together, like, I don't know, because I don't even know if that's on Amazon Prime. Like, I don't know if their Amazon movies go directly to Prime after they get released on DVD. I'm not sure.
Well, I think it started this whole kind of debate between Amazon Prime and Netflix, because, you know, when Netflix comes out with a movie, it's like an in-house, like, movie. Like, Bright came out last month. That's not going to be in, like, theaters. So Amazon was just like, oh, well, we can have Amazon movies, too. We're going to buy up these rights, but we'll actually put it in theaters. And a lot of people appreciate that more.
Prime.
Yeah. So, I don't know. As long as I can see the movie, I don't really think I, you know, care all that much. So.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think Amazon's taking a better approach on that one than Netflix has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do my number 8, which might be on yours. At number 8, I've got Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, I got that one on my list.
Okay, so we're going to have to wait on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought so.
Okay, so where are we now? I could...
Your number 8.
Okay, my number 8, which you previously mentioned, is Coco.
Okay, I didn't know you had seen this one.
Oh, yeah, Grace and I, we went to one of those movie tavern places where you can, like, get a meal and everything before the show. And that helped.
Spending the big dollars
Well, it helped because, we were splurging a little bit. But, see, this is going to set me off on a little rant about Disney, but...
Oh, no.
Coco released in Mexico before it released in the U.S., because, you know, they wanted to see how it was going to do. It's very close to Mexican culture and everything. And it seemed like the execs at Disney got scared because they added this, like, 20-minute, clearly made-for-television long, like, Olaf's Frozen Adventure thing to the beginning of
Coco. Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah, and people were mad because it was 20 minutes on top of 20 minutes of trailers. So think about it. If you're taking like your kids, you got like a family and you're trying to go somewhere, small kids can't afford to be sat somewhere for an extra 20 minutes with something that doesn't have to do with the movie. And people were confused. They thought, because the short was playing first, they thought that instead of playing Coco, they were playing Frozen, and that there is a confusion or something like that. So, I don't know. They really seemed like they mishandled that situation. And the thing is, they did the same thing in the U.S. When they released the movie here, people got mad about the short because it was too long and it felt out of place.
Oh, weird. So they tested it in Mexico, got those results, and then still just kept it like that.
Yeah, and then after a couple weeks, they ended up taking it out because people were complaining. But wow, it just really showed kind of a lack of faith of Disney. They were just like, there are too many brown people in this movie. Let's throw some Frozen in there to make sure that it's more relatable. And that really made me sad about the movie because the movie is so great. Like, it really is kind of a masterpiece. And the focus is really all about family and heritage and all that heart. And even when the movie expanded to China, they didn't release it in as many theaters because Pixar movies sometimes don't do so great in China. But Coco, like, skyrocketed in China because Chinese culture is so ingrained in family and heritage. And that's just what Coco is about. It's not really, it's not just about what the characters look like. It's more about what the message of the movie is. And Coco is just such... It made me sad that Disney had such, what seemingly such little faith in this movie, and then it proceeded to do so well. And it really is really good. The music's great. The story is great. It's one of two movies this year that I shed a couple tears in because it's just talking about family and how to deal with, like, you know, like death and passing on and everything. And it's a excellent movie. So, well done, Disney, and shame on you for not giving them... not having more faith in Coco.
Yeah. Well, I didn't either, because I just trashed it earlier and said Beauty and the Beast was better than it, and then you came back and said no.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. I think...
Well, I haven't seen it, yeah. I was just kind of assuming, I think, that, like, oh, I'm not going to really like Coco. It's not for me.
I mean, I'll admit, like, the buzz around Coco wasn't the same buzz for Beauty and the Beast, just because Beauty and the Beast is such a classic.
It's a classic, yeah.
But Coco is an excellent movie.
Yeah. Okay, and can we table a discussion for maybe a future episode about the epidemic of 20 minutes of trailers?
Ugh. Yes. Yeah, we can table that. And also, I've got more Disney complaints.
Oh, man. Well, I mean...
Well, not complaints, just questions.
I'm pretty sure at least half of the movies on your list are Disney movies in some regard, so...
Yeah.
Oh, they're taking over.
They really are. They really are.
Oh, man. Okay, so bumping up to your number 7.
Yeah, my number 7 is Wonder Woman, which is your number...
Okay, that's 8. My number 8, so we're pretty similar there, yeah. Okay, so you wanna lead with this one?
Wonder Woman is great, man. Like, yeah. It is such a good story. Gal Gadot does such a wonderful job. She's so strong throughout the movie. Chris Pine is great. They set him up as a really interesting, like, sort of love interest foil. I don't know. Like, Wonder Woman was just so dang good. And it felt kind of like an underdog. Like, I think people, I guess the estimates for opening weekend were, like, sort of low. And then it comes out and makes over $100 million that first weekend. And it's a solid story. It shows that someone in DC can make competent, good films. And not just competent, good films. Competent, female-led, good films. That's something that Marvel hasn't even done yet. And they've done almost 20 movies.
It is
really impressive what Patty Jenkins was able to do. And I'm glad that she was able to go in and negotiate for more money for Wonder Woman 2, because she definitely deserves it. She had a lot riding on her back with the whole kind of DC luggage, and also doing, like, the first big, like, superhero female-led movie. So Wonder Woman was great. I'm a big fan of it, and DC can do some good stuff sometimes.
Yes, on occasion. So I actually rewatched this what was it, like, a week and a half ago.
Oh yeah,
I went to my parents' house, and when was that? Why was I there? Maybe it was over Christmas. I don't remember, but we Redboxed it, and my parents let my little 9-year-old sister watch it, which is really surprising because they're very, like, If it's like PG-13, you're not going to watch it because right. you're not 13. Like, pretty strict on those rules, but my dad, who had seen it, was like, oh, she needs to see this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that kind of put it in a different perspective for me, because, like, the movie opens with, like, little girl Wonder Woman running around, and that, like, got my little sister, like, into it, because it's like, oh, it's this little girl, and she's learning how to fight.
Yeah.
And it's like, cool. And so, I don't know, that was kind of cool to see her go through it. And also, just, like, I'm not going to try to pronounce the island, Themyscira, whatever it is.
I think you got it.
Did I? Okay. I'm a nerd. But, just all everything there and all of their cool, like, bending off the horse and, like, doing shield jumps and, like, all of that crap is just so freaking cool.
It really is. It is just, it's so cool. And it's, I'm so glad that you got that experience with your little sister, because I think it really is an important movie, especially in today's time, to just, for women to, like, be able to see someone on screen do all that stuff that, you know, with Marvel, we've gotten, like, almost 20 movies worth of dudes doing stuff. And to have, it feels like this should have happened before 2017, to be honest.
I agree, because I don't, my little sister would not, like, sit through and watch, like, X-Men or, I don't know, Iron Man or something.
Yeah.
Like, she's gonna get bored. She's gonna just be like, ah, it's a bunch of guys just fighting
mm-hmm.
superheroes. These are what the boys in my first grade class watches or whatever.
Yeah.
But I will say the one thing that I did not like about Wonder Woman, and this applies to, I think, all DC movies so far, is the final battle scene. They just go full throttle on CGI, and it kind of kills it for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but this might be a discussion for later. But the scale of DC superheroes in general is just a lot bigger than the scale for Marvel heroes. So okay. I feel like their only way to compensate and make those villains seem somewhat, you know, be on the same scale as the superheroes, I feel like that's a natural inclination, is to get into this big CGI fest. So
yeah,
I would like to see something.
It always bother me, but I feel like every now and then I'll just be watching it and think, like, these actors are literally just wearing, like, a green screen suit in front of a green screen. Like, there's nothing real here, because mm-hmm. it's all mm-hmm. just, like, props. So
yeah, that's fair.
Yes, this can be a discussion for a later date. Okay, so this is good. So my number 7, I've got Thor Ragnarok, which you had
cool.
at number 9, I think. So I'll start with this one. I think Thor Ragnarok was the funniest movie I saw this year.
I would agree, like, to that. Yeah.
Okay, you might have something to contend later on.
I agree. I've got caveats, but I agree.
Okay. I think it's what I wanted Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to be.
Okay, yeah, I feel that.
It landed all the great jokes. It surprised us with weird characters and a funny Thor that has never been seen before. It was just, like, fun action. It kept moving. It was just, like, I don't know. I got out of the theater and I was like, man, that was a fun movie.
It was a fun movie. It's definitely the funny. I was going to say definitely the funniest Marvel movie, but there are so many
Guardians
now.
Guardians 1.
Yeah, I was about to say Guardians 1 off the top of my head. But it's definitely up there. And it was such a breath of fresh air, because I'm not going to lie, I don't remember the first Thor movies all that well, but they did not feel like this. Not at all.
And I think of all the superheroes movies coming out this year, Thor was kind of written off as like, oh, we're getting another Thor movie.
Yeah, it
and
really was.
I think
was.
It really surprised as like, oh, whoa, this was like a lot better than I thought it would be. And I think there were some promising signs with like the trailer and stuff that they were going a different direction, but I think what is his name? Taiki Waititi or whatever his name, the New Zealand director guy, he really nailed it.
Yeah, he really knew the vision that he wanted to make of Thor, and he really executed. But I do have a question.
Okay.
Do you, okay, so you've got Thor above Wonder Woman?
Yes.
Okay, I guess what is your, what was your...
my justification for that? Honestly, I think having seen it again, the final fight scene in Wonder Woman really did kind of hurt it a little bit.
Okay.
These two are pretty close for me. I don't know. I just thought, okay, I will say I don't have any other superhero movies ahead of it on this list, which might be a little surprising for you, but I just thought Thor was the best superhero movie I saw this year.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. I did not know
that. Yeah, 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 so there it is.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. It was dang good.
It was. It was. And I'm like looking forward to watching it again. So, and I don't know, it didn't, I don't know if it really had a whole lot of like Marvel stuff in it. Like, I don't know how important it was to the overall story as a whole as much as some of the other movies have been.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of its own little side thing going on. But I kind of liked that. So, I don't know. It just got me really excited for Infinity War and Black Panther and all the other Marvel movies, because they're all just so good.
Yeah, I think I'll put it like this. I think I enjoyed the watching experience of Thor Ragnarok more, but I enjoyed more about what Wonder Woman like meant to movies, and the fact that it was also very good. So I think that was kind of my, because I struggled with those two as well, and then I kind of put Coco between them because Coco was great.
You wanted some distance there. That's understandable. And like, I could easily move Wonder Woman up to 7. Like, those were just that's kind of my little superhero section there of like, these were really great superhero movies this year.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious.
I'm pretty sure you have one or two above this.
I do.
And so we will get to those.
You know me too well.
Because I have revealed that I have left those off the list. Okay, I forget whose turn it is to go up to number 6.
I do too. Have we talked about your 7 through 10, or have we skipped
any? 7 was Thor for me.
Okay.
Have you done, your 7 was Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so my number 6 is Get Out.
I have that later on my list.
Okay, I figured you might have it up there, so... We can move to your number 6.
Okay, my number 6, and I think this might be... I don't think it's on your list because there are no more superhero movies.
Okay, and there are going to be some surprises in my top 5. I'm just warning you.
That's all right. Okay, my number 6 is Logan.
Okay. I thought you would hit this one on there.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm a sucker for good, satisfying endings, and to a T, that really is what Logan was. Which kind of makes me sad that they're talking about bringing Wolverine back for the whole Fox.
I saw that, and I was just like, no, no, no.
He just, like, this movie just wrapped up his character so well. Hugh Jackman had amazing performance. Patrick Stewart did as well. Patrick Stewart's performance of Professor X is probably one of the most haunting performances I've seen, just because I never expected to see, like, an old... like mentally struggling Professor X, and he just did that so well. And there's this whole bond of family between him and Logan and Laura, and it was just a really good movie. The ending scene, getting to see Logan just go full Wolverine for the first time, really, because we haven't gotten a R-rated Wolverine yet, not like this.
Yeah,
it was
so gritty too.
It was. And
just like brutal fight scenes, and like, oh man,
yeah, that was great.
And they got me reminiscing now.
I mean, that ending scene was so great, and it's also great because the very first scene when he's in the limo and he's waking up and he has to take those guys out, like, that sets the scene for what type of violence this movie is gonna have. And then it really just goes out in full force in that last scene. I don't know, I just really loved Logan. It was probably, and I'll probably have to explain myself later on, but this was probably the best made superhero movie this year, in my opinion.
I know what you're saying, because I know what's ahead of this one. Oh man, but I will say I had Logan as one of my three like honorable mention just outside the top 10. Mm-hmm. I was considering putting that in the Brigsby Bear slot, but I figured you would have it somewhere on your list and yeah. we would get to talk about it. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. That was some of these movies like feel like they were forever ago.
Yeah, they really do.
Because really we do. Saw all those movies in like January through March of last year, and I'm like, man, that was a year ago.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much a year ago. But I don't know. Logan has been that one superhero movie that's really stuck with me all that time. They really stuck the landing there, and I don't know. It was great. Yeah, it, man, it shows that, what good storytelling can do with a condensed superhero type of universe, because it wasn't an X-Men movie. They didn't have to juggle with, like, you know, 6 or 10 different members. It was just about, you know, Logan and Laura's story and how that really ended. And, Logan's great.
Yeah, do you feel like, I don't know, I've liked the recent X-Men movies, but in some ways I feel like it's kind of brought down, like, the importance of the original X-Men, and this kind of, like, brought it back.
Yeah, yeah, I 100% know what you mean. I really liked First Class. I thought that was great. I liked Days of Future Past a good amount. I didn't like Apocalypse at all, really. So now I don't really know what the whole Dark Phoenix situation is. And I just... Okay, I'm going off on a tangent. I don't like this this Fox-Disney deal. Because with Infinity War, it feels like... I think we can pretty confidently say that some characters are going to die in Infinity War. And in part, that seems because there are too many people at this point. We need to slim out the ranks a little bit. And if you throw in some X-Men and the Fantastic Four and all that, it's going to be... It feels like too much to me. And the X-Men movies always just felt... They really did feel like in a completely different universe. Like, they had more nuanced ideas talking about kind of how the different perspectives of Dr. X and Magneto of how mutants would really interact with just regular humans. Do you want to assimilate with them, or do you want to keep as far away from them because, you know, they're scared of you? And that sort of dynamic is really interesting and has really interesting parallels to the real world. And that's just not something that they're going to delve into in the MCU, I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, my only hope is that this Dark Phoenix is more focused on one character, which I think Logan showed that that is a better approach for them yeah. than trying to do this, like, massive everyone gets equal treatment in a big, like, I don't know, Marvel does that where they come together once every, like, 4 years or whatever, which
and that's works tough.
Out really well for them.
Sometimes. I didn't love Ultron.
But yeah. We could... It's just going to turn into a superhero discussion.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I've only got one more on my list, though.
But it's got so many superheroes in it.
It does.
Okay. Okay. We'll go to... Wait, so that was your number 6?
Yep.
Okay, what's your number 5?
My number 5 is The Disaster Artist.
Okay. This is on, along with Lady Bird, like, one of the movies I most still want to see, because I still have not seen this.
Okay, have you watched The Room?
Yes.
All right, so we haven't talked about this, actually. What are your
yeah,
thoughts?
I think we were planning on doing a Disaster Artist podcast, but The Room was, or The Disaster Artist was only in theaters around me for, like, 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, it was real quick.
And then I think Star Wars came out, and then it was just gone. I couldn't find it anywhere. I was like, I'll gladly go see this while Star Wars is in theaters, because I had to wait to see Star Wars, but nope, they just pulled it. So, The Room... Okay, so we both listened to the How Did This Get Made podcast about The Room, which kind of clued us in as to its, like, cult following.
Yeah. Because I had never heard of it beforehand, I don't think. Have you?
I had neither. I did not know that this existed. I don't think many people did.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think it was a pretty, like, niche thing. Like, I don't think many people knew.
Okay.
Because it seems like The Disaster Artist is really, like, informing the general public that this movie exists. But yeah, so I watched The Room a couple months ago, and it definitely delivered on everything that people promised it to be, as far as just being, like, an actually terrible movie. but with so many things that you just kind of, I don't know, just kind of sticks with you and has like a special little like moment or something in there that it's like a funny line or a funny scene or like just a really weird director's decision to do something a certain way and you're like, why are they doing this? It was unlike anything I've ever seen.
I agree. It was like an experience. I guess when I envisioned it, I thought it was going to be one of those like so bad that you like laugh at it. And I laughed a little, but I was more just mesmerized the whole time.
I know, it wasn't like, I'm trying to think of a movie to contrast it with, of one of those, like, terrible, terrible movies.
But I don't know, The Room really does sit in a class on its own. So, I don't know, with that said, I won't spoil The Disaster Artist, I guess, as much as I can.
I don't know how much you can really spoil of it, because The Disaster Artist is basically a movie about the making of The Room, correct?
Yes. Based off of a novel that Greg Sestero wrote.
Yes, it's Tommy Wiseau's perspective, who's the director and actor and everything, this mysterious man that now everyone has kind of fallen in love with because he is just so, I don't know if he's oblivious or just has such a weird way of thinking.
Yeah, he's interesting.
yeah, I'm sure you know a little more about him having seen the movie.
Man, The Disaster Artist, it is so good. Just because I listened to James Franco talk about why he decided to take this project on. And he said when he read the book, you know, there's a lot of craziness around The Room, but at the core of it, it really is just the story about friendship, and it has a ton of heart. And the movie really does, it really portrays that. And James Franco, he won Best Actor.
For a comedy or musical.
Yeah.
The Golden Globes.
I really hope he wins the Oscar, too, because he is that good as Tommy
Wiseau. I think he's got an outside shot at it.
I think he has an outside shot. I would be a little surprised if he won, but I think he definitely deserves it. He does so good, and I'm a total sucker whenever they're brothers or people that are related to each other outside of a movie that work together. And him and his brother playing Tommy and Greg, like, their chemistry is really cool. I had never seen them in a movie together. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited for you to watch it so we can delve into it more. But Disaster Artist is really good.
We might have another discussion on this.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. Like, props to James Franco, because I don't know how he was able to so perfectly capture the person that is Tommy Wiseau.
I think... From what I've heard, the thing that's made it so good and so successful is that he didn't treat it as just a, like, oh, we're going to make fun of this terrible movie.
Oh,
like,
no. Haha, look it's at not how a joke.
He is. I know. And I think that's, like, what a lot of people think of the movie as. And I think the fact that he took it seriously and, like, found a message in there and, like, really captured the essence of what Tommy Wiseau was trying to get across in his movie. Mm-hmm. And just the process of, I think that's why it's been so successful. So I'm really excited to watch it. So I'm hoping that comes out in some format soon.
Yeah, it's and you can tell all the actors are having such a fun time. Like, they bring in Josh Hutcherson to play Denny, and Zac Efron to play Chris R.
He's perfect for Denny. Oh my gosh.
You can just tell that they were just like, okay, we're going to make this movie. Let's have some fun with it. And they really do. The Disaster Artist is great. It really surprised me because I guess I wasn't expecting a story with so much heart. I went in kind of thinking it was going to be more of a mockery, and it's definitely not. So, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. I'm glad you have it that high up because that makes me even more excited for it.
Yeah, going in, I didn't think it would be a top 10 competitor, but here we are, me trying to promote James Franco for Best Actor.
Yeah, oh man. Okay, so my number 5, I am almost positive you haven't seen, I'm not sure you've even heard of it, is Wind River.
I've heard of it, and I've heard really good things.
Okay, so this is one that I did not see in theaters. I saw it when it came out on DVD. So it is, I guess, part of, like, this trilogy that the movies aren't really related to each other, but by the same, like, writer, that is Sicario, Hell or High Water, and Wind River.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, they're all kind of these, like, I don't know, westernish, kind of like, it just got some, like, good old boys going, and, like, there's some, like, big conspiracy that they've got to solve or something like that. So,
okay.
So Wind River is Jeremy Renner, like, tracking down some killer in the mountains of, I think it's Montana or Wyoming or somewhere, where it's just, like, super bleak and, like, snow everywhere and cold, and it's just, like, a really well-shot movie. And I love Sicario and Hell or High Water for a lot of the same reasons. They all kind of feel similar. But, I don't know, this one was just really good. I thought Jeremy Renner, it's probably his best... Well, he had Hurt Locker, which he won an Oscar for, so I won't say that. But he put in a really good performance, and, like, the story is really cool, and it just kind of has you on the edge of your seat the whole time of, like, oh gosh, what's going to happen? And there's just, I don't know, it really makes you feel cold, too,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, is really interesting how they did that. But I don't know, I'm not sure if it's a movie you would like, honestly, which is why I'm a little hesitant about it, but it's, like, definitely one that I like, and I'm probably going to buy and watch again.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing is, it was one of these movies that completely went under my radar. Like, I didn't see any promotion for this.
I know, and I hardly saw anything, and then one of my friends texted me that I should go see it, like, after it had come out and was already kind of on its way out of theaters, and I couldn't go see it, and I was like, shoot, I don't know how I didn't, because we were so aware of all the movies coming out, I don't know how I didn't end up going to see this one. So, and I think it would have been really good in a theater, too, because, I don't know, it's, like, super quiet when he I don't know, he just has, like, a sniper rifle, and he's just sitting in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, it was really good.
Okay, well, yeah, I've heard some good things about it. I think Josh mentioned that it was really good. It just happened to slip under my radar. Like, I couldn't even tell you, like, even what quarter it came out in.
Yeah, it was, like, July, I think.
Oh, risky.
yeah. Well, and I'm pretty sure it came out on the same weekend as some other big movie. But did you ever see Hell or High Water?
No.
I think you should see that one, because I think out of those three movies, that's probably the one you'd like the most.
Okay. And I've heard good things, but aren't they doing a sequel to Sicario?
They are doing a Sicario 2, which I don't know how I feel about that.
Hmm.
Because I don't know. Have you seen Sicario?
No.
I see, that's why I didn't think you'd seen any of these three.
No, nope, so I'm out of the loop.
This is kind
of,
yeah, and I don't know if they're really your type of movie, but Sicario didn't, like, end in a way that you were like, oh, there's something more. It kind of ended, and you were like, oh, man, like, that was intense.
Yeah, and we'll get into this with one of the movies on my list, but I really dislike whenever a movie has a solid ending, and then it continues, because... when we were just talking about Logan, like, I feel like they would undercut a lot of the meaning of Logan if a new Wolverine just popped up next to Iron Man in an MCU movie. So,
yeah. I don't know why they're doing a Sicario 2, but I really like the guy that makes these movies. So, I don't know. He said he was done with, like, this type of movie, but then I saw Sicario 2's coming out, and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Is he attached to it?
He said he was. I don't know if he is, because I thought he was moving on to, like, a new kind of genre.
Oh, okay.
But he's, like, really young, and, like, this is, like, the first thing he's ever done, really. And so it's just kind of, like, came out of nowhere, and he's had these, like, really successful movies. Because I think, like, Hell or High Water was, like, in, like, award discussions last year.
Yeah.
And Sicario was. Wind River kind of missed out, but... I don't know. I just really like his movies.
Okay. All right.
For me, there's a pretty distinct break here of, like, my top four are, like, these are my movies. Like, these are my movies of the year, and I could make a case for any one of them being my number one.
Hmm. Okay.
So... I don't know. Do you want me to do my number four, or do you want to hit your number four?
Well, now I'm curious. I want you to do yours, because I think my, like, two through 8 are pretty interchangeable. The only one I wouldn't move is my number 1, I think. The rest I had to do some debate about, and there was some definite shifting. So I want to know what your tops are.
Okay. Okay. At number 4, I've got Dunkirk.
I was wondering when it was going to pop up.
Okay. And I don't. You never managed to see Dunkirk, I don't think.
No, I did not.
Okay. Okay, so that's good. So I saw this one twice in IMAX both times.
That sounds loud.
And, like, way more money than I normally spend on movies. But, like, this is a movie that needs to be loud. Like, the sound in this movie is, I think, what makes it the most memorable of, like, all of these troops on a beach and planes come, like, dive bombers come screaming down at you. And everyone on the beach is diving and putting their hands over their head to, like, cover up. And, like, you want to do the same thing in the theater because, I don't know, it's so loud. And you're just like, dear God, what is that? Like, oh, man, it gets your heart, like, pounding like no other movie. And I'm usually not, like, huge on war movies. Like, I like them, but this one was done in a really cool way where it was, like, this really closed period of time, but told from all these different perspectives, and Christopher Nolan kind of put his spin on it that he likes to do, which makes it really cool. Tom Hardy's great in it, even though he's just a guy in a plane with a, like, helmet on the whole time. There's some great, like, new actors. Harry Styles is really good in it, which is kind of crazy that he, like, can act, apparently.
Has he done anything before?
I don't think so. I think this was his first thing.
Oh, all right.
But apparently now he might get more things. So it was really good, and I love all Christopher Nolan movies. They have a special place in my heart, but yeah, it's really good, and I think you should see it whenever you can.
Is it still, I guess I heard that it was such a theater experience. Is it still worth watching, like, at home?
You have speakers at your house, so I think, I don't think you'll miss out too much. I think you'll get the experience of it. But this is also a movie on my list that's like an Oscar. Like, I don't know if you've seen all the Oscar buzz this one's getting, but, like, some people think it has a chance to win Best Picture.
Wasn't Nolan nominated for Best Director, I want to say?
He
for Golden Globes, at least. I don't know about Golden Globes.
Oscar nominations haven't come out.
Okay.
But I think he was nominated for Best Director, which I think most of his movies before this are, like, a little too, like, summer blockbustery, yeah. I guess. Which, this was another, like, summer blockbuster movie, but it, like, felt more artsy in some way. I'm not sure how that is. But, like, at the same time, it was a war movie, and it's, like, super intense, and I don't know. You need a breath of fresh air after it, because it's just, yeah, it's really crazy.
Cool. Yeah.
Go see Dunkirk.
I don't think I've heard literally a single negative thing about Dunkirk.
And there's really nothing, like, negative to say. It's just, like, whether this is the type of movie you're going to enjoy. Like, I think someone that doesn't like loud action-type movies is going to enjoy it. But, like, if any part of you is, like, interested in, like, history or just likes, like, super intense movies where, like, a bunch of stuff's going on and, like, you're super invested in it, then I don't think there's much not to like.
Okay. Yeah, I said I hadn't heard anything bad. I think the only bad thing I heard is that it's very, very loud.
It is very loud.
But like you said, like, it was done on purpose, so.
But, yeah, it's, and, like, the sound, like, I think it should win some sound awards, but, like, the sound's mixed in with the soundtrack really well. Hans Zimmer does the soundtrack, which I'm a huge Hans Zimmer fan. But it's really good.
Cool. And that was your number 4?
4, yes. But, again, I could make a case for any of my top 4 to be my number 1.
Okay.
And this one definitely falls in that category.
Cool. Okay, is it my number four now?
Your number four.
Okay. My number four is War for the Planet of the Apes.
Okay. Okay, yeah. You talk about this one, but this is another one that, like, I kind of surprised myself by leaving it off my list.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say it was up on your top as well.
Yeah, it's not.
So, like I've been saying, I really am a sucker for good, satisfying endings. I think War for the Planet of the Apes does that. I think this is probably one of the best trilogies I've ever watched. It's definitely one of the best, like, modern-day trilogies. I mean, they were able to make people feel invested and care about apes for three movies straight, like, more so than the humans at some point. I think that was amazing. Even though I know some people had complaints about Planet of the Apes, about this movie, how the, I guess the marketing for it was more of just like a straight action movie, and how it was more kind of introspective and prisoners of war and that sort of thing, which I am usually not that into, but the storytelling was so good that I really bought in. Caesar's arc was amazing. I really liked Woody Harrelson as the antagonist in this. He gets close to being like mustache twirly, but his explanations about his motivations make a lot of sense. They've kind of got one guy, he's a human who you might think kind of defect to the apes, who they kind of tease you might, he might do that, but then he ends up not doing that, because when you look at the situation, even though he could kind of see things from both sides, he's always going to end up siding with his species, which is something really interesting I think the movie brings out. It's just incredible the things that they are able to do with technology these days. The CG, they really do need to start awarding CG artist in some way, and Golden Globes or Oscars or whatever that may be.
Andy Serkis needs something.
Andy Serkis definitely deserves an award, but the people who build up Caesar around him deserve recognition as well.
I agree.
I think it's a team effort, but I think they definitely need recognition. Yeah, Andy Serkis was fantastic throughout the series, and especially this movie. I thought he had a lot to carry. So, I don't know. This movie kind of surprised me. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it this much. I've enjoyed all of the Planet of the Apes movies, the modern ones, but this really knocked it out of the park for me. Really felt like a satisfying ending, so yeah.
Yeah, I really don't have a great reason for why it's not on my list at all, because I really like this movie and I really like the series too. I think I might like the other ones a little bit more than this one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really great, and I think the only thing it suffers from for me is that it was like a while ago, along with Logan, of where I just don't remember as well, like, the way I felt coming out of the theater as I do for some of these other ones.
Yeah, it's tough to dig back that far with
but so it is movies. Such a good series, and like, I have the first two on 4K, and I definitely want to get this third one on 4K, because like you said, most trilogies, like, you've at least got one movie that just sucks.
Yeah.
Or is, like, kind of a weak spot. Like, maybe Lord of the Rings is the only other one.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you don't like all three of these, I think it would be a hard case to say that one of them was bad. Like,
yeah.
I think they were all quality movies, and it makes me really excited to see what Matt Reeves is going to do in the future.
Yeah, it's just weird, because, like you said, like, these are all movies about, like, monkeys, and it's, like, kind of a silly premise of, like, oh, monkeys are taking over the world. Whereas, like, the original Planet of the Apes, the first movie, was just, like, crazy of, like, wow, these apes, like, took over or whatever. And then all the movies after that were just kind of terrible because they weren't well made and
yeah,
no one really cared anymore. But they definitely, like, kept you on the hook and invested. And, like, each of these three movies was such a, like, different story, too.
Yeah, such a different feel.
Yeah, like, the first one was so different than the second one, and then the second one really was not the same as the third one at all.
Yeah, not at all. Like, I would say the second one probably had more, like, of a war aspect than this one did.
Yeah, and I forgot about that opening scene at this third one where they're, like, going up, like, the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trying to attack, like, the monkey base or whatever. Oh, man. It's a good one.
It's so good. I love the Planet of the Apes, that trilogy. Because, yeah, I guess I hadn't realized it until you pointed out, you know, with a trilogy, you usually expect one of the movies to be kind of bad, but it was really consistent all throughout, and that has to be commended, I think.
I agree. Okay, we're going to do your number three next.
Okay, this is going to be my most controversial choice by far.
Oh, I've got... yeah, okay.
So my number three, and my last superhero movie, is Justice League.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, man. Here's and knowing you, I'm not upset about this.
Okay, I'm glad about that. Here's the thing. I love Justice League. It's not a perfect superhero movie. I would argue it's definitely not even the most well-made superhero movie. But I haven't had as much fun in another superhero movie this year as I did with Justice League. You know, DC, not everything they do is bad, but they have had some issues. I would say Superman's characterization in Batman vs. Superman was a little problematic, but they fixed him in Justice League. That last scene when he's coming back and fighting Steppenwolf, that is the Superman we all needed.
Oh, man.
Henry Cavill as that Superman, perfect casting. Ben Affleck as the Batman in this movie was also perfect, but, you know, he's talking about maybe wanting to leave, but, you know, that's a situation for a later time. They handle Wonder Woman and Gal Gadot perfectly. I'm glad that she's taking the reins of this Justice League. Ezra Miller was great as a Flash. He really provided that much-needed comedy. I think that Cyborg's arc throughout the movie was really interesting. I'm really curious to see where he goes because they are showing aspects of his humor and his just human personality underneath all that metal, and I think that's really going to come through in future movies. I don't know. I know that this movie had production issues. I know the final result even has its issues. But as a superhero movie, I love Justice League. And any critiques against Justice League, if you step back, I think that those are easily critiques that can be made against most superhero movies these days. So, with that being said, I love Justice League.
Oh, man. That was great. I love that. All I'm going to say is we have a, like, hour and a half discussion on Justice League in another podcast. You can listen to that if you want to hear more discussion from DJ about how much he loves Justice League.
I know it's not perfect, folks, but there's got to be someone who is fighting for Justice League because and everywhere people are just crapping on it.
I'm not going to say it was a bad movie either. I just thought there were a couple other superhero movies that were better. I was pleasantly surprised by how good it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll be frank. Like I said, it is not the best superhero movie that came out in 2017, but I love Justice League. So there we are.
I like that. I like that, yeah.
You knew it was going to be somewhere on the list.
I knew. I didn't know how high you were going to go with it. Number three feels like a good spot for it.
I wrestled with it. I almost put it down at number five, but then that felt like too many superhero movies together, so I had to move it.
You bumped it up. Oh, man, that's great. I can't wait till they add Green Lantern to the Justice League.
Well, I don't know, man. They're doing a whole sort of restructuring.
Don't think about all the ways it could go wrong.
Okay. Don't think
about those.
Positive vibes for me.
Think about how great it could be to have a good Green Lantern. Yeah.
Hashtag... Idris Elba for a Green Lantern.
Oh, if only. That's not going to happen, though.
It's not.
He's Heimdall.
Heimdall's not, like, all that important, though.
No. We're not going here.
Okay, we're not going here.
We're not going here. I'm putting down a wall. Oh, man. Okay.
I think it's your number three.
Okay, so my number three, I've got Baby Driver.
Oh, okay. Cool. Baby Driver is on my list, but... He's next, so I think we can talk.
Okay, he's your number two.
Yeah, he's my number two.
Okay, and I thought you would have this pretty high up.
Oh, yeah.
Too. But yes, I really liked Baby Driver. And I now have it on 4K.
Me too.
And I've watched it several times. You have it on 4K?
Oh, yeah. I can't play it because I don't have a 4K player.
I was going to say, I was like, you got a 4K player?
Baby steps.
Nice. But... Like, the thing about this movie that really, like, it wouldn't be a great movie without the soundtrack going behind it the whole time.
Oh, it's perfect. The editing of this, Edgar Wright needs a dang award for this movie. The editing is so good.
Yeah, it's really great. And yeah, you can tell like he had like in mind what he wanted to do with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed it. So yeah, it's so fun. I forget what other movie I think it was Thor that I was saying, like I came out of the theater and I was just like, man, that was a fun movie. That was like Baby Driver, but like times two. Because, I don't know, it was so like fast-paced, and even when it wasn't, it was just kind of fun, and there was some song going in the background, and you're just kind of tapping your foot, and you're like, okay, what's next? What are we going to do next?
Yeah, like I've listened to the soundtrack multiple times. I don't know, this movie is so good, man.
Yeah, yeah, and it's so rewatchable, too. Like, I could just watch it.
Yeah, I've only rewatched it once, but even then it was still good. I love seeing John Hamm and stuff. He does so good in this movie.
He's great. Jamie Foxx is great. Kevin Spacey, I guess, is great.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah, that's kind of how I'm treating it. It's like Kevin Spacey died. That's too bad. Yeah, but that aside, Baby Driver, great movie.
Oh, yeah, super great. I'm glad it was on your list. I was getting a little nervous.
You didn't think I'd have Baby Driver on my list?
I thought you would, but when you were saying that you could interchange any of them as number one, I didn't know if it was in that scale for you as well.
Oh, it's definitely. And like I was like, should it be number one, number two, number three? I didn't know where to put it.
I mean, well-deserved. I mean, it's my number two for a reason, your number three for a reason, so... I don't often buy movies, but when I think they deserve a purchase.
That's true. That's very true. I'm usually the one that collects all the movies. But, yeah. No, that does say a lot. It's so good. Oh. Good stuff. I just want to watch it again right now.
Ah, it's so good. I'm going to listen to the soundtrack tomorrow.
I know. I'm at least going to listen to this. Oh, okay. So you've done your number two now, so I'm going to do my number two is John Wick 2.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was going to be high up, but I didn't think it would be that high up.
You didn't think it'd make it that high up? And again, like, could be interchangeable with any in the top four, but it's definitely like, man, do I love me some John Wick.
Oh, man. That was going to be my honorable mention for, like, best action movie.
Because
you can gush about it because it's your number two, but oh man.
Just John Wick 1 was so great, and there's some debate of like, was John Wick 1 like better than John Wick 2? And I'm like, I don't care, these are both fantastic movies.
I think that's a perfect response.
It's just like, I'm not gonna debate those, they're both incredible, and like there's not any action movies like it. And and the world that they've built around this character, and the way that they use Keanu Reeves in these action scenes, and like, when he's rolling down the stairs with Common, and they're just beating each other up.
Oh, amazing.
And then later he just stabs a knife in Common, and he just kind of looks at him, and he's like, respect. I'm like, man, this would be so stupid in any other movie.
It really, yeah, but you're here, right.
Here you're just like, man, that's dope. It's just, it's so cool. And it's created, like, its own, like, version of action that I think is going to be repeated now.
Yeah, of, the
like,
good version of action.
Yeah, it's so, it's so great. And, like, there are so many scenes in that movie that I can just, like, driving his car around at the beginning when slams a guy into a metal pole. It's great. It is great. And John Wick is awesome. And that's another one where I'm hoping they can manage to do a third one without ruining it.
But I've got
now,
faith.
Like, I'm riding the John Wick high. And that was like a movie that came out in like February. And I'm still like, man, John Wick, great guy.
Yeah, John Wick was really good. I've got faith that their third one is gonna hold that standard up. They've got the bar's pretty high.
I just don't, because like John Wick 1 was such like a small like look at like what's going on. John Wick 2, they like expanded it to like this world of, I don't know what you call them. Are they assassins? Are they like hitmen?
I don't know, man.
They're just like John Wicks.
They're just John Wicks.
Yeah, and they all have gold doubloons. And there's, like, the butler guy that's super cool. And he really cares about his dog.
Yeah, they better not kill the dog again. That was
they did. They teased you about it in this. It was just so good.
Yeah, props to John Wick, Keanu Reeves. That's action done right. Like, if you put up a clip of John Wick shooting, like, next to pretty much any other modern day like action movie, and just like count the amount of cuts that the modern day action movie has to make something look somewhat decent, it's ridiculous. Whereas it's just like one long steady shot with John Wick, and it's impressive because that puts a lot more work on the actor.
When he's like going through that museum, doesn't he like throw his gun at someone at one point?
Yes.
Man. Oh, I love that movie. Yeah, so that's my number two. Okay. Yeah, and that one I do not have, surprisingly, on 4K, which kind of makes me sad. I need to get that one.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Really dropped the ball, because right now I want to watch John Wick, and I don't have that available. Okay, number ones. Who's going to go first here? I'm going to say my number one is probably going to really surprise you.
I don't know what it could be.
Okay. You do your number one, because I think by process of elimination, I know what it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you knew what my number one was.
Okay.
My number one is Get Out.
Yeah.
So while all the movies on my list have shifted a little bit, depending on, you know, the further I've thought about it and stuff, Get Out has consistently stayed at my number one spot. There was something... When I saw Get Out, I really couldn't, you know, I couldn't stop thinking about just the world that they kind of built. It was so interesting. It had so many layers, but not in a pretentious way. Just the way they present the situation that Chris gets in, you know, regardless of race or anything, they are able to present just this sort of anxiety so perfectly. And this can be felt, you know, just dealing with in-laws, dealing with people you don't know, just this feeling of being uncomfortable. They capture that so perfectly, and it's something that I wasn't expecting going into it. The movie has tons of layers, the acting is great, it goes directions you don't think it's going to go. It has been the movie that has stuck with me by far the most in 2017. And it's kind of one of those movies that's kind of hard to explain without it sounding kind of weird or kind of off, and it is a little weird, but it works in a way that I haven't really felt another movie click for me. So it's stayed at my number one spot all year, and I know you listed it earlier on your list. I think number six.
Yeah, I added it. I had it number six. Okay. But I'm happy you have it as your number one, because so we saw this together.
Yeah, we did. It was terrifying.
And so, like, we don't normally see, like, scary movies. No, and we didn't really know how scary it was going to be. But, like, I don't know, I've talked about on several of these movies, like, the experience at the theater. And, like, this was probably the most memorable, like, theater experience movie of, like, you really felt like the whole audience was, like, there with you.
Yeah. Like, the saying being on the edge of your seat, I felt that this entire movie. It was just, it was stressful. The entire movie was stressful.
It was.
Especially
it was stressful.
The end scene where you see the police lights. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This movie stuck with me in a way, I guess, because I could personally relate to that situation more or less. But I think it kind of extends beyond, you know, just the race relations. I really do think that there are, that there is a story to be gained, you know, despite
all
that.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I think, I'm not black, but, like, I found a lot in the movie, and not just of, like, oh, us white people were evil.
Yeah, and I'm glad they didn't go that direction, because I think that's what I was scared of. I was just like, you know, we're pretty divided as a nation right now. Like, sending a message that all white people are bad is not gonna be the best thing for things.
That's exactly what was incredible about it. Was this is Jordan Peele, which no one expected anything from this movie.
Oh yeah, did not expect that out of Jordan
Peele. Instead of dividing people, like, I feel like this movie, more than any other movie this year, really brought people together, just in the way that it was, like, discussed. Like, everyone was telling everyone they knew, like, hey man, have you seen Get Out? You gotta see Get Out. There's these crazy scenes in it. Let's talk about it. Like, I don't know, and it just, like, stayed alive for, like, 2 months of, like, Get Out was like the movie, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen, I think.
It's kind of created its
own genre. So the one thing I think that dropped it a bit for me is that I don't have much of a desire to see it again. Like, there's a lot of twists and things that are kind of spoiled when you say it, which is true for any, like, horror thriller type movie. But also just, like, that stress and that tension, like, I don't really want to have that again.
Okay. See, I thought about this too. And, like, with the twists and things, I agree, whenever you see a movie and it has, like, twists and turns and things, that kind of, it doesn't give a lot of rewatchability to it. But just diving into some of, like, the mythos behind this movie and some of, like, the hidden Easter eggs and things, some of the references, some of the themes that aren't so explicitly stated, I think there is a lot in this movie that could be gained from a second watching. And I'm saying this as a person who has not seen it a second time, because I also can't go through the stress of watching it again. Because even though I know how it ends, just some of the framework with those scenes, like that one scene when Chris is talking to Georgina in his room and how the camera is so close to her face, you just feel this sense uncomfortableness and anxiety. And even though you know how it's going to end, I can't put myself in that situation again, I guess.
Yeah. So, man, it was great. And so this is another movie that has Oscar buzz around it. And I, like, my biggest hope is that Jordan Peele wins some, like, best bet is probably writing, but man, if he could get something for this, that would just feel like a huge win, because it's like he did something really big with this movie and was not a person anyone expected to do something big with it, and I really hope he gets rewarded for that.
I do too. I think they got nominated for like a best screenplay for Golden Globes maybe.
Yeah.
But I really want them to make an Oscar run at it. I don't know, like I would say Get Out and Wonder Woman were probably the two most culturally impactful movies this past year, and
yeah, I could get on board with that.
Yeah, so I don't know. That could be argued, but just I don't know. I loved Get Out, so it stayed as a constant number one, and I'm a fan. So I hope it does well with Oscar season, even if it doesn't. It did way better than anyone was projecting it was going to do, so props to Jordan Peele.
Yeah, I can't wait for what he does next. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my surprise number one is Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I knew this was like one of my top movies of the year. Wasn't really sure where I was gonna put it, and the more I thought about it, I was like, man, this was a really, really great movie. So it really was not as successful in theaters as it should have been, and I'm not sure exactly why that is. But so I was really excited for this movie. I watched the original Blade Runner a couple times, I think, before it. And I'm just kind of a sucker for sci-fi, action-y type movies in the first place. So it's kind of already in my wheelhouse. But, like, I don't know, it's a really long movie. It's, like, almost 3 hours long, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah, which might be part of the reason it didn't do so great. But it's visually and, like, the sound mixing of it are some of the best. So I saw this in like a Dolby theater with like the Dolby surround sound, and like your chairs are like vibrating when bass like goes really hard.
Oh, which that's is
pretty
awesome.
pretty much this entire movie has like an underline of just bass and like these weird like sci-fi noises, which were like really inspired by the original film. Ryan Gosling is great in this movie. And it's just so many, like, I don't know, the thing I love about sci-fi is just all of the freedom it gives you to just come up with these crazy ideas and try to fit them into some crazy world you've created. And this one does such a good job of, like, bringing in these, like, nostalgic ideas from the first one from, like, the 80s that people really loved, but then bringing them to modern day when we can actually like make those look good, and then adding its own ideas. And it's just such like a huge world that you get like just enveloped in. And on top of all of that, It's got great acting performances and a really good, like, story throughout it that keeps you engaged. And I don't know, I really love this movie, and I've pre-ordered it on 4K, so my top five is really like my 4K collection. But
The Warren's worth your money a second time.
Yeah. And I really liked it. And Harrison Ford, like old man Harrison Ford, has a great turn in it. He's really good, and it's really cool. So I would recommend it if you ever have just 3 hours to kill. It's a pretty long movie.
I mean, honestly, here's the thing. Usually, I don't like super long movies. I get psyched out because I'm just like, that is a big time commitment. But this is one of those movies that I'm really sad that I missed out on. But it came out I think the weekend of my wedding. And then because it didn't do too well in the box office, they pulled it out pretty quickly. So I missed the boat with Blade Runner. I think either they pulled it out or they put it in like theaters for like the only time it was being aired was like, you know, at noon during the week or at 10 p.m. during the week. So
yeah,
I definitely want to talk about it though, because I've heard good things about it. It seems kind of like the best underdog of the year. From what I can tell. Like, I don't really know anything about it. Just the people who have seen it are really big fans. And then, I guess, no one else saw it.
Yeah, for me, it's really a blend of the two types of movies I love, I guess. Which are, like, kind of the more artsy Oscar-y type movies and sci-fi action-y type movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really what the original was. I don't think the original was, like, a huge... I think people thought it was going to be like a huge like Star Wars summer blockbuster kind of thing. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, this is more like artsy and emotional and has all these different like layers to it. And they kept it that way for this one, which is really cool. So I would say if you're going to see it, definitely watch Blade Runner before you see it.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much for like the story tie-in. Although it is kind of a continuation of the story, it's really more for just, like, the feel of the movie.
Okay. Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah. And, yeah. And director Denis Villeneuve, he's done Arrival and Sicario and all these movies that I love. And he's maybe my favorite director right now. And I just love all the movies he does. So, yeah, that's my surprise number one. Blade Runner 2049.
Man, I hate it. I missed that one then.
Love it. Yeah. No, I think if I had been there, we probably would have squeezed it in sometime before your wedding.
Yeah. You're right.
I would have been like, "Hey man, this is 3 hours and I know you don't have 3 hours, but we got to see this movie."
Honestly, we did have like 3 hours. We had more than enough time just chilling, but
Yeah.
That's all right.
Oh, man. Yeah. Good one. So, okay. So, we've completed our top 10.
Okay. Is there any other movies you wanted to mention, like honorable mentions or
movies that made you mad? So, my honorable mentions, I think were all... So, I had Logan, War for the Planet of the Apes, Justice League, and then my last sort of honorable mention was The Last Jedi. And more of just because I was kind of surprised... Not super surprised, but I was just like, the Star Wars movie didn't make my top 10. That's kind of sad. But, I mean, I didn't really feel any conviction. It wasn't one of the 10 best movies I saw, I don't think.
No, it was outside of my top 10. But I had a lot of issues figuring out like what to do with Star Wars, because I have a list of all the movies I've seen, and I didn't know where to put Star Wars, just... Because it's just in its own category,
so
you know?
I know, and normally it would be in its own category, but it would automatically be like, man, this is one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, that's true, but
I guess... But this one just wasn't that way. But
yeah.
Again, we have a two-hour discussion on Star Wars The Last Jedi, so I'm not going to get too into that one. But yeah, I think my other three were all ones that you had on your list for honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Did you have any that we didn't get to?
No, nothing worth mentioning, except that I hated Split. Hated it.
Oh, okay.
That's the one movie I've seen this year where I regretted watching it.
Okay, interesting, because I didn't think it was that bad, but...
I don't know what it was about it, but I just didn't like it. I thought James McAvoy, or whatever his name is, I thought his performance was amazing, because he had to do a lot.
He was like, 13 different people or something like that?
Yeah, that's a tough task, and I thought he did that well, but story-wise, wasn't a fan. Didn't care about it.
Yeah, not really your type of movie. Not really my type of movie either, but I was like, hey, it's M. Night Shyamalan, it's better than some of the other things he's done recently.
Well, that bar is real low.
yeah. Oh, man. Poor guy. Poor M. Night. Yeah, I was going to say we could do most disappointing movie, which I'm not sure if Split falls into that category, but I was thinking more of you had high expectation.
I've got one for that.
Just fell short. Okay. What would you say for that one?
I've got two for that, actually.
Okay, I've got three.
Most disappointing, one of them for me is Free Fire.
Okay. I thought about that one. I don't know why we had such high expectation, though.
I think that's what's bothering me. There is nothing that should have told me that this movie was going to blow me away. I guess it just intrigued me because it was different. It was interesting. It had Brie Larson. She's awesome. It had Armie Hammer. I was like, okay. Charlton Copley. I was like, okay, there's some big-name actors in here. It seems like a condensed story. I don't know if I've like seen that happen recently in a movie. This can really hit for me. And then it just missed a lot.
I thought something else was going to happen, and it was just it was a 2-hour shootout, basically.
But it wasn't even interesting, because instead of having like a continuous like John Wick type of action thing, it was cut to this, and I was just like, I don't know what's happening, and now I really don't care what's happening. Yeah, so.
They're in this giant warehouse, and you never can figure out like where in the warehouse people are.
Or who's on whose side.
Who's on whose side, and that's like kind of part of it, is they're like not sure who's on whose side. That was disappointing for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, but again, I'm not sure why we thought, I guess just the lineup of actors and like, I don't know. Yeah, something went wrong there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what's one of yours?
One of mine, I have Kingsman 2, The Golden Circle.
Oh, see, that was one of my, that I missed.
Yeah. Yeah,
what was wrong with it, though? Because the previews it looked really promising.
Yeah, so it was a weird case of, like, I don't know, when you do a sequel, you know the things that, like, the audience loved about the first one. And I think it's a great contrast with John Wick. Of, like, there were things about Kingsman that people loved, and Kingsman 2 just went way over the top with those things.
That sounds kind of like what I'm going to say about Guardians here in a second.
Okay, it was too zany, had too many just, like, crazy, outlandish things. And you know how, like, Samuel L. Jackson was, like, just this crazy villain in the first one? Well, this villain's, like, even crazier. She, like, grinds up people into meat and then cooks them into hamburgers.
What?
Yeah, and you're just like, what? Like, that's too... too weird. Like, just stick to, like, the cool action and, like, the... I don't know. And, like, Channing Tatum was, like, in the trailer, and you're like, oh, he's, like, gonna be a huge part of this. He's in it for, like, a couple minutes, and then gets some, like, injury that keeps him out of the rest of the movie.
Really?
And so he's only in, like, 5 minutes of it. Yeah, apparently he's gonna be in, like, the third one, but I'm like, what?
Okay.
I don't know if I want a third one.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, since this was disappointing, is this like a franchise-killing disappointment? Like, are you not interested
in
a
Kingsman 3? It might be. I would honestly rather pretend right now like Kingsman 2 had not been made.
Oh, man.
And like there was only Kingsman 1.
But the first one was so good.
It didn't do anything for me. So I'm going to just ruin the whole thing for you. But
that's
like,
all right.
In the first 5 minutes of the movie... they send out, like, these rockets and just kill off all of the supporting characters. Because there's, like, a big bomb, like, the villain, like, just, like, sends out missiles. And so, like, a bunch of these supporting characters that I had kind of forgotten existed, but they just, like, kill them all off. I'm like, what? And then, like, there's, like, he's got, like, his two mentor people. There's Colin Firth, who did, like, the Freebird thing in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, the bald guy. I forget what his name is.
Yeah.
but the bald guy is supposed to have, like, the super emotional, like, send-off thing where he, like, sacrifices himself. But he's, like, standing on a mine, and he, like, sings Country Roads by John Denver really loud.
What?
Because apparently that's his favorite song, which we found out, like, 5 minutes before the scene.
Oh.
And he's also a British guy, which doesn't make sense why he would love Country Roads so much.
Yeah.
And also, I swear I had seen two other movies with Country Roads in some, like, pivotal moment, like, right before that. And I'm like, why is Country Roads taking over all these dang movies? Oh, man. But, yeah. Kingsman 2, super disappointing. You'd be okay not seeing it.
Well, that makes me super sad, because I
it made me sad, too.
The trailer got me pretty hyped for it, I'm not gonna lie.
Actually, no, you should see it and just confirm that I am not crazy. I've probably spoiled whatever opinion you might have had about it, but...
I'll probably wait until right before Kingsman 3 comes out, and then I'll watch it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, not great. Okay, what's one of you... You mentioned Guardians. We gotta do Guardians.
Guardians 2 is not a bad movie.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
I feel like...
I had very high expectations, being that Guardians 1 was so great.
Yeah, and Guardians 2 is still funny, but I feel
it
like
was.
They pressed it too hard and replaced... I guess my movie... my issue isn't even with the comedy, per se, even though I feel like they leaned on it, like, a little too hard because they knew we liked it. I think
yeah,
it just felt like
it wasn't
they...
as good.
The story, it felt wasted, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Chris Pratt, they didn't give him anything to do, and I know they had to, like, resolve the whole thing with his dad and blah, 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 but it was one of those classic, like world-ending, planet-fighting monster things, and that's just thoroughly uninteresting to me right now.
I think that's what it was. It was just an uninteresting movie.
Yeah.
Which is really sad, because the first one was so interesting.
So interesting.
And maybe it's just because we didn't know who the characters were, and now we had expectations for the characters, but...
I don't think so, man. Just... Like, they didn't give the main dude in Guardians anything to do.
I know, he didn't really do... They didn't really give any of the characters anything to do. Like, what did they do the whole movie? I don't remember.
I don't know. Like I said, not a bad movie. I still enjoyed it.
Not a bad one, but it... Yeah, it... That's. I think that's what made Thor so great for me, is that it kind of filled the void that was left by Guardians of, like, man, what?
That's true.
What happened?
Thor probably wouldn't have hit as hard for us if Guardians 2 had have, like, knocked us out of the park like Guardians 1 did, because we'd be so we'd be kind of, I don't know,
that's
all
true.
Humored up, you know.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, I'll go through my other two pretty quick. The Dark Tower.
Yeah.
I feel like right before the movie, we got really hyped about it, just watching the trailer, and we were like, oh, this is going to be so great.
Well, I think we got hyped because there was literally nothing else out in, like, August. So,
that's true,
by default,
that's true.
We're
it was hyped. Our only hope for a good movie, and it was just kind of like, ugh. Just, I don't... The only thing I remember are the scenes that were in the trailer of Idris Elba grabbing bullets out of midair and shooting them.
That was still cool.
It was really cool, but it's like I could just watch that trailer and like that's all I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disappointing. Did you have another one?
I don't think so.
Okay, my other one I was gonna say is The Circle.
Oh, okay. I didn't... Wait, you saw that?
I watched it. Not in theaters, but I watched it. It was on Netflix.
I was about to say, because I remember us talking about going to see it, and you were just like, wait, bump the brakes, because these reviews are horrible.
I read the book, and I like tried to hype you guys up about seeing it, and I think we had a little hype.
Yeah, I was down to see Emma Watson and Tom Hanks.
It died so fast from the negative reviews. And normally I don't put all my, like, leaning into reviews, but it was like audience and critics both just hated it.
Yeah, I usually trust audiences, but when they hate it, oh, that's
yeah,
it's not
it,
great.
And watching it on Netflix, I was like, ugh. Like, it really didn't stray too far from the book, but it was like, maybe this book just didn't need to be a movie, or maybe they just, like, kind of missed, like, something. I don't... It was just dumb.
Was it like a lame Black Mirror episode or something?
Yeah, kind of. But, like, not even good enough to be, like, mentioned in the same sentence as Black Mirror.
Oh, okay.
Because, okay, so in the book, so the whole thing is supposed to be this big scare about how big technology companies are dangerous, and, like, having cameras and technology everywhere is not great for society. And at the end of the book, they really, like, hit that in by making the main character, like, end up siding with the big technology company, and you're like, whoa, I thought this was who we were supposed to be rooting for. And then in the movie, she's just like, technology is bad, I've learned my lesson. It's like,
what?
Yeah. It's like, you completely switched the ending and made it way less interesting. That was like the one thing that really like stood out about the book. Books to movies just don't work most of the time.
Yeah. That's, well, okay. I'm sorry about
that. That being said, I am super excited about Annihilation, which is coming out in a couple months.
Oh, yeah, that looks really good.
That's another book to movie. But, yeah, that's everything in my disappointing category. Other categories I had that we kind of cut, I had, movies I wish I had seen, which my main two are Lady Bird and Disaster Artist.
Did you see that three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri?
I did.
What are your thoughts?
I did. Oh, okay, so I don't know if you want to end the podcast here and I can just tell you about Oscar movies, because we could have another Oscar movie discussion later.
I feel like the Oscar movie discussion is going to be you informing me about Oscar movies.
Yeah, that's pretty true. So I've seen that one. I've seen Shape of Water. I've seen... what else is nominated? You've seen Big Sick, Get Out, and Dunkirk. I feel like there's a couple others that I've seen, but like I don't even remember them. But I will say, Three Billboards I did not like. And I really thought I would like it because it's like, oh, it's outside Ebbing, Missouri. Like, Missouri, yeah. That's where I'm from. First of all, Ebbing is a fictional town, does not exist. Also, It did not feel like Missouri at all.
Oh.
It was filmed in Alabama or Georgia or somewhere. And I was like, this place does not exist anywhere in Missouri. That does not feel like small town Missouri. So there goes like the one thing I was rooting for in the movie.
Wait. But
also, I'd say the thing that stood out the most about the movie is how much bad language there was in it.
Too much.
Like, so much. So much. And so much just unnecessary. Like, just over the top. Like, I don't, if I'm just, like, noticing it constantly, that's not a great sign.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just like, what? Could we not come up with a script that didn't have the son yelling all these things at the mom and you feel uncomfortable and... Ugh. Yeah, but it had some good performances in it. I think it'll probably win awards. Didn't really care for it. I really did not like Shape of Water.
I don't know much about it, but the premise doesn't really
interest me. Do not see it. Do not see it. Not a good movie.
All right. That's all I needed.
That being said, I think Guillermo del Toro is going to win Best Director. That's probably the award I'm most confident in for Oscars. But I did not like this movie. It was... made me very uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
I will say, I went and saw this alone. The two people sitting next to me walked out about 30 minutes in.
Oh.
Did not come back.
Oh, wow.
And then a guy behind me was snoring about 30 minutes later. So, really knocking it out of the park with Shape of Water. But a lot of people are saying that's a favorite to win Best Picture.
Yeah, I feel like it's so weird when, like, a divisive movie is in the running for Best Picture.
They always are, though, and those are always the ones that win, and that's why I'm like, this one's going to win, or it's going to be the Call Me By Your Name, which is about, like, a middle-aged man having a romance with a teenage boy.
Yeah, I've heard about that one, and I just went to Cinemark to like see if any of these were like going to be playing anytime soon. And for whatever reason, it's showing that Tommy Wiseau's The Room was playing tonight at 8 p.m.
Yes, yeah, see, that gives me hope. Those are the ones people want to see.
But why? Why is this movie in theaters? Like, not even The Disaster Artist is here anymore.
But the, I don't know, because now people have seen The Disaster Artist and they want to see The Room.
Oh man, it really is coming full circle.